And now to a mysterious bird illness. Since May, wildlife officials have received reports of sick and dying birds with eye swelling and crusty discharge, as well as neurological issues. There are reports from at least 10 states and as near to us as Indiana and Kentucky. And it's according to the U.S. Geological Survey's National Wildlife Health Center and reporting from Audubon. Have you come across sick birds lately? What questions do you have about diseases spread in bird feeders and baths? 800-642-1234. Caitlin Schwabek is communication specialist for the Madison Audubon Society. Caitlin, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Yeah, good morning. Thanks for having me.
Good morning. We also have Dr. Lindsay Long here, a wildlife veterinarian for the Wisconsin DNR, and we're reaching her in the field in Ashland. Dr. Long, welcome to you.
Thank you, and good morning.
Good morning. Dr. Long, let's start with you. When did this fatal bird illness become apparent? When did it start?
Wildlife managers and wildlife rehabilitators in the Washington, D.C. area started receiving reports about in early May of pretty much fledglings or juvenile grackles and blue jays having those clinical signs that you mentioned earlier, those big swollen eyes, crusty eyes, and some neurologic symptoms.
Have there been any cases reported here in Wisconsin?
We have not had any cases that match specifically to those reports when we've submitted them for diagnostics. We have had scattered reports of people being on alert and looking for those, letting us know if they've seen them. And then once they've sent them in, they haven't been the same, but we're still watching at this point.
Can you explain what the reports are? You know, we did mention the eye swelling and the crusty discharge, but also these neurological observations.
There appears to be some incoordination for some. The vast majority have been mostly ocular signs that they're investigating. That's most apparent clinically or visually when you look at them. But incoordination, not being able to fly well, those are things that people might see.
Caitlin, you've been following this closely. Madison Audubon is saying to take down bird feeders. Why is that?
Yeah, so we are recommending, out of an abundance of caution, the preventative measures recommended by the National Wildlife Health Center. And that would be to take down feeders and bird baths, including specialty feeders like hummingbird feeders, suet, and others. Then cleaning them with a 10% bleach solution, which is one part bleach mixed with 9 parts water, rinsing them out and allowing them to air dry. And we are also recommending that people keep them down until we know more about the illness. Birds are not the best at social distancing, unfortunately, and we know from other diseases that when many birds congregate together near feeders, it can accelerate the spread of disease. So our recommendation is just out of an abundance of caution, hopefully before we start to see any instances of the disease here. We know too that in the summertime, birds have a very, very plentiful wild diet that they can access: seeds, fruits, worms, insects, and flowers and more. So even though taking down feeders can be disappointing, and I know that because I just put up my first one this year, we know it is the best preventative measure available at this time.
Yeah, birds are not going to go hungry this time of year if those feeders aren't up.
Right.
Caitlin, I'm wondering, has Madison Audubon ever given this type of recommendation before? Is this a common thing to say, you know, to say something's out there, please take your feeders down?
You know, not in the recent past, but there have been illnesses in the past couple decades and in other states where they may make those recommendations. Sometimes when there's salmonella outbreaks, and in the 90s, they had a major house finch eye disease. And those have been times when I think those recommendations have been issued in other areas.
Dr. Lindsay Long, what have scientists ruled out at this point?
Well, they've ruled out a long list a long list of disease-causing agents that we know of, and including like salmonella that was just recently mentioned, and some other bacterias. They've ruled out some viruses, some parasites. They're still investigating some more of those, as well as some additional toxins, or even possibly some mycotoxins like funguses and things like that. So they are working diligently to investigate this to the point that hopefully we can determine a cause.
Yeah. How difficult is that to determine what is going on here?
It can be quite difficult, especially if you don't have good, like a background information of what wild birds may be exposed to that they don't have clinical signs to. So that's why they'll collect samples from multiple areas. They'll coordinate and compare findings. That's why when you see these, when we talk about like the USGS National Wildlife Center and the what they put out, that was an interagency.
Yeah.
So all of the states and the federal agencies and the laboratories that are working on this are working collaboratively together to try and determine this cause. So they put that statement out as a group, you know, and so that actually means that they're working together. They're actually getting background information from other birds in those areas as well that may not have had clinical signs. So they're working hard at, but it's not always easy, even with domestic animals or even humans, sometimes it's not easy to find a cause.
Yeah, I find that really interesting because when there is an emergency like this, there are different groups assisting federal agencies. I guess I was surprised that the U.S. Geological Survey was working on the problem. I viewed them as the, you know, the geology or the water folks. And what agencies take the lead in a situation like this? And is there a clear network of collaboration?
Yeah, there actually is a really good network of collaboration. So USGS, the National Wildlife Health Center, is actually stationed within USGS because it's a science center. But it's actually, and it's, they actually are housed in Madison, Wisconsin. So we're very fortunate that they're very close to us. Hmm. But they investigate many of the, like migratory bird, if we have migratory bird mortalities, if we have, say, a mortality event involving multiple species that maybe they wouldn't normally look at, like cervids, like deer or something, or squirrels that we might focus more on ourselves typically. But if there's a mortality event, they actually have a whole epi section that can help help states investigate.
Hmm.
Some states are also part of SQUIDIS. Oh, and I'm going to get the acronym wrong, so I'm just going to leave it for SQUIDIS right now. it's the Southeastern Disease Wildlife Study, and they actually, they're stationed out of Georgia at the university there, and so they actually work with a lot of southern states as well, and at this point, they're all collaborating and providing information back and forth. And there's a few other laboratories involved as well.
We have DNR wildlife veterinarian Lindsay Long and Madison Audubon Society's Caitlin Schwabick as they bring us developments in tracking sick birds and an illness spreading in multiple states from the mid-Atlantic and southeastern U.S. inward. What questions do you have about bird health or how to keep bird feeders and baths clean and safe? What do you want to know about this mysterious illness? 800-642-1234. Back in a moment on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're getting the latest on a mysterious disease that continues to sicken and kill birds in multiple states. The U.S. Geological Survey, it states the majority of affected species are common grackles, blue jays, European starlings, and American robins, but other species of songbirds have been reported as well. Have you noticed any ill birds where you are? 800-642-1234. We have Dr. Lindsay Long, wildlife veterinarian with the DNR, and Caitlin Schwabeck, who is spokesperson for the Madison Audubon Society. Caitlin, what would you recommend that people do if they see a sick bird?
Yeah, so something that can be really helpful is if folks contact a local wildlife rehabilitator. If you're in the Madison area, I know the Dane County Humane Society's Wildlife Center is able to assist people and help them identify what might be going on with the sick or injured bird that they're seeing. They also, I believe, have a protocol in place with the Wisconsin DNR related to tracking this mystery illness and can guide people through the best next steps. If you're able to take any photo or video of the bird safely, that can be a helpful tool to share with them as well.
Dr. Long, what would you suggest from the DNR's perspective?
Well, so reporting sick birds to a wildlife rehabilitator is a great recommendation. If they're fitting these clinical signs, we would ask that they contact their local conservation biologist or non-game ecologist or wildlife biologist. And we actually have a way to do that on our website. If you look up dnr.wisconsin.gov wildlife disease, it'll point you to a little call-out box which gives you information on who that person is. The Wisconsin public has done a great service, and they are always letting us know when they see sick or injured or sick animals, or maybe animals that they don't quite understand what's going on. They have a great reporting history with us. And so we keep a database of multiple species and disease reports or investigations that we've conducted over the years.
So. Yeah. So citizen science going strong there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It has been.
Let's bring in Sandy in Walworth. Sandy, what is your question?
Hi. My question is regarding, I understand taking down the feeders, cleaning them, that's all, you know, fantastic, sad, but fantastic way to help. But what about our stock of feed that we all have? Because there could be a chance that it's something being spread by a contaminated feed or something, right? So what do we do with our feed? Do we just hold on to it and wait?
Yeah.
I'll see what you have to say.
All right. I want to pose this to both of you. Caitlin, what would you suggest first?
You know, I would say just pay attention to the expiration of the seed and things like that. And until we know more, it's probably safe to hold on to, but just kind of waiting until we have more information about what could be causing the disease is going to be a helpful thing to do here, I think.
Dr. Long, what about that bird seed? Would it be contaminated?
We have no evidence to suggest that at this time, especially in Wisconsin. Again, we have not had any reports of this illness in Wisconsin. Taking down feeders is a super great precaution. At this point, we're just recommending that people make sure and maintain clean feeders, like cleaning them and disinfecting them. Or removing them if they see sick or dead birds. But yeah, I think if you do take them down, I think you can hold on to the seed, monitor the expiration date, and make sure it's in something that rodents can't get to, right? So we don't want it contaminated with other things.
We have Dr. Lindsay Long, wildlife veterinarian at the DNR, Caitlin Schwabek with Madison Audubon Society, as we learn about a new illness affecting birds. Rachel is joining us from Red Cliff with observations. Rachel, what are you noticing?
So in the past maybe month and a half, driving from Bayfield to Washburn to work in the morning, we've noticed five total. It looked like dead crows on side of the road. I've never seen a dead crow ever in my entire life. And now we've seen five all recently. And then you mentioned grackles. So maybe they were grackles. We never got out and got an up close look, but they were large black birds. And it just kind of struck us as strange.
And these are on the side of the road, you say?
Yeah, like on side of the highway, on Highway 13.
Dr. Long, driving from Bayfield to Washburn.
Did you see these individually or all at the same time?
Individually, like one I saw yesterday, and driving to work this morning, I was just going to say, I'm going to look up where do we report this, because we've seen so many.
Yeah, so there are other diseases, obviously, that can cause mortalities, and that's one of the things, even with these clinical signs, they're not specific to these birds. But along the side of the road, Unfortunately, a lot of times we do see crows getting hit if there's any type of like a roadkill already there and they're eating on it. Crows will eat on or carry on along the side of the road. They are also susceptible to other diseases, though, that sometimes we don't see. Like, they're one of the first birds that if we're having a West Nile virus outbreak, we might see signs in them, which we do regularly have. It's not something new in the state of Wisconsin. But you, definitely you can report it. You can report it to your local biologist.
Why is it important to keep birds healthy, Dr. Long?
Well, I mean, birds are an important part of our ecosystem, right? Yeah. They're not just one. They don't all fill one specific thing, right? They all have just multiple duties. Like we're talking about the crows, they help keep areas clean. They, you know, eat on dead carcasses. We have birds that help pollinate. We have birds that reduce insect populations. So they all play this like crucial little niches in our ecosystem, and that's all. The way it works best is when they're all healthy.
Caitlin, at Madison Audubon, have your members and the people who you talk with regularly, do you find that there is concern about this situation?
Yeah, we've definitely had a lot of people with questions about it. And from that, we decided to kind of issue some of the preventative measures that folks are able to try if they would like to with all the information that's available to them. But yes, we've definitely had a lot of questions and we want to do our best to kind of address anything that folks send our way.
Dr. Long, how could a bird illness like this affect other wildlife?
Well, it depends on the species affected and how many. So right now, this illness doesn't seem to be impacting other species outside of these primary songbirds and these age groups. But, you know, there's when you have, like, you can have diseases that could impact more, but not,
yeah.
I just want to be specific. I'm sorry.
I don't want
to confuse the situation at this point with these, but
sure.
Right now we have no indication that this goes outside of these species, but they do play a role in spreading.
We'll be watching. Thank you both for joining us.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
Dr. Lindsay Long, wildlife veterinarian for the DNR, Caitlin Schwabek, communication specialist for the Madison Audubon Society. Just ahead, we discuss national immigration news and the new White House administration strategy. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.